Welcome to the Path to Podcast Success. My name is Evan Johnson, and I want to share with you how to develop and maintain a successful podcast. My guests and I will discuss all things podcasting and how your podcast can become an essential part of your business. That means more revenue, better relationships with your audience, and so much more. If you haven't already, check out our website at ipodcastedit.com and enter your email address to get each episode delivered directly to your inbox, along with some other free information I'm sure you'll find useful. Get ready to turn on your mic and join me on the path to podcast success. Hey everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Path to Podcast Success. I had a great time interviewing Dan Perryman on today's episode. Dan is the host of the Low Carb Leader podcast. He is a martial artist, a physique competitor, a fitness and nutrition enthusiast, as well as the host of the Low Carb Leader podcast. With over 20 years of hospital executive leadership experience, Dan brings a unique perspective to the health and fitness world, and he certainly brings a unique perspective to this podcast. Coming from his background, I think the reasons why he has a podcast are really interesting, and I think you guys are going to get a lot out of this episode. So I hope you guys enjoy it, and if you do, please do let me know. I appreciate your guys' feedback, and if you have any questions you'd like me to ask future guests, or if you have any future guests, or if you have a podcast and want to be a guest yourself, please don't hesitate to reach out. I also wanted to say that if any of you are actually interested in starting a podcast, but you're unsure of what to do and you want a little bit more than the advice on these podcast episodes, please don't hesitate to reach out to me and ask me for help. I offer every person that I come across one free podcast consulting and coaching session. So you're welcome to reach out to me. We'll book a time and we'll have a conversation about it. No charge, of course. I just want to be able to provide you value and help you get started in the right direction to get a podcast that you want. So with that said, I hope you guys enjoy this episode of the Path to Podcast Success. All right, Daniel, thank you so much for being on the show today. I have been looking forward to our conversation. I'm glad we could finally make it happen.
Yeah, me too, Evan. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So I like to start off in the same place with all my guests, and that is, what was your biggest fear of podcasting when you were first starting, and did it come true?
Yeah, that's a great question. So like so I got to give you a little bit of background. So I was a hospital CEO for the last 20 years. So I was actually running a hospital when I started my podcast, and I actually started my podcast around leadership. I thought it would be really good to, it was called New to Leadership, and I thought it would be really good for new leaders to kind of hear about leadership stuff, right? And that later changed to the Low Carb Leader. But so my fear was, it might have been similar to other people's fears, but my fear was a little bit different because I was leading this hospital, and so I was an executive, so I had a lot of people like watching me from the community, from my bosses, everywhere. So when I came out, I was like, and I was already a pretty good public speaker, right? Mm-hmm. I was terrified when I came out with this podcast, and then it was, and I edited it down to like every breath was gone. And so when it came out, I listened to it and I thought, this is the worst thing I have ever heard in my life. Right. And it was like, it was so bad in my mind. And I was almost embarrassed, like, to put it out. I was afraid to put it out. Mm. And it really didn't come true. Like, a lot of those fears were in my head. Right. And people were like, oh, that's great. That's a great podcast. And so I think we were all so self-conscious about, you know, putting ourselves out there. So that was my fear. And I think that's a lot of people's fears as well, that like doing Facebook Lives, right? People are like, oh my God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do a podcast. People are going to criticize me. Well, they're really not. I think people appreciate what you're doing and appreciate the value that you put out there. But yeah, definitely fearful several episodes into the podcast for sure because of that.
Yeah, definitely. I know what you mean. That's a lot of people's fears for sure. Although it never seems to come true, you know, even though I've heard multiple people say that was their biggest fear, it's never come true.
Yeah, right. It didn't come true. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it'd have to be really, really bad for there to be a bunch of negative comments right out of the gate. Like, that just doesn't really happen, you know?
Yeah, so, and one thing I read before I started podcasting was that the audio quality is almost more important than the content, right? Because mm-hmm. because people understand your content, and most people that do podcasts are giving out a pretty good message, right? But yeah. if the audio is so bad that you're 30 seconds in and you're hearing echoes and screeches and all this other stuff, people are going to cut it out. They're going to be like, I can't listen to this clicking for the next 30 minutes. So I think audio, and I focused on a good audio at the beginning. So I think that was helpful as well.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. You mentioned that you, at the beginning there, you were really hardcore with your editing, edited out every breath, all that kind of stuff. Now that you've been doing this for a while, how intense are you with the editing?
Yeah, I'm a lot less intense. So I use Adobe Audition.
And, I do that too.
Yeah, and we can talk later about editing out and if that makes sense or whatever. But I became pretty good at it, right? Mm-hmm. So like in the basics, I'm a basic. So for those listening, like you don't have to be an expert. You just have to like learn the 10 basic things on a editing program, and it will get you there. And to an extent. But I realized over the time, like I'm almost on episode 100 right now. So I realized that breaths aren't that bad, right? Unless they're really annoying. At the beginning, I was so worried about somebody doing, I like spent so much time editing them out. And dead space, people need a little break between somebody talking. Like, you know, yeah. I was just cutting out everything. So I probably realized that I became way less robotic about it. And now it's like naturally talking with somebody is what somebody wants to listen to. So like some interviews, if I think in my mind, like they went pretty well, I won't even edit the interview section at all. Mm-hmm. I'll just kind of let it flow naturally. So I think that's a progression we go through though. We're so worried about everything. And then plus later you're like, well, you know what? I mean, I got listeners now, then they're used to me. So I think people relax, but I don't know if telling somebody to relax from the beginning will even work, you know, but
yeah.
You can relax from the beginning is my point, because you're going to relax eventually.
That's something that it's one of those things where every, veteran podcaster will be like, relax, don't worry about it. But it's something you can't really feel until you've done your episodes and you realize that intense level of editing doesn't really make sense for a podcast, you know? Because exactly. Like you said, I love that. You know, sometimes you don't even edit the interview if you think it went well, because that's what a podcast is a conversation. And if you edit out every single tiniest gaps and all of the breaths, that is not really a conversation between people anymore. It's like, it's a robotic thing, and you can tell when it's over-edited, you know?
Exactly.
The sound is good. Right. And even though the point of editing is to make it sound better, at a certain, like that works, but then at a certain point, it makes it sound worse.
Exactly. I agree with you completely.
So, yeah. So I love that you feel that way, because that's what, when I'm working with people, that's something that I always say, you know, I would recommend to leave it as natural as possible, because exactly. That's what sounds the best.
Exactly. And then what's funny is, you know, I listen to other podcasts, and like they're like the veteran podcasters, it's very natural. Yeah. And so you listen to them and you're like, oh, that's very natural. But then at the beginning, you're like, well, I got to edit mine like so much. But the most popular podcasts are very natural. I mean, Joe Rogan is a high end production, but very natural.
You know,
it's very natural. Like it's not over edited. So I agree. And if you're just starting, like just take our advice right now and just let it be natural. And you'll find that it's going to save you a lot of time of editing, and it's going to actually make your podcast better.
Exactly. And I feel like the editing as a concept is still important, but I think people, when they think of editing, they think of cutting out the breaths and the pauses. Whereas what it really should be is things like voice leveling
exactly. And
volume control, things like that are what, like, I did before I listened through an episode. That's what I do, is I make sure the voices of the, if it's an interview episode, right, make sure the voices of the interviewer and the guest are pretty much the same, right? Because I always try to put in myself, okay, so if I'm imagining, I'm listening to this episode while I'm commuting to work, well, let's say, and if all of a sudden, if the interview starts out, if the interviewer starts out and it's, you know, at a normal volume, and then all of a sudden the guest comes in,
exactly,
then, you know, then you're supposed to, then what are you going to do in your car? Like, the sound just cuts out because you're in traffic, you have to turn it up. Right. And then the interview comes back in loud and it's super loud and you got to turn it down. So that's the kind of editing that I think is important.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I focus on now. Exactly. It's just equalizing it. And I actually put the headphones in and I kind of scan through and I'm like, okay, imagine I was in a car. That's exactly what I do. And that's so important, because I have episodes where I look back and I'm sure it's like just all over the place. And that's what's annoying to the listeners. If you got to continually keep changing your volume, you're going to be like, it's not worth it. So
yeah, that's way more annoying than a pause or a breath or something like that, you know?
Right, exactly.
Although there are some instances where if the connection was really bad or something and there are sounds like a lot of clicking or something like that, then you will have to do some of that cut editing,
right? But
only if it's needed. And I'll still listen through the whole episode in case like if something got messed up and the interview was like, oh wait, hold on a second, cut that last part out, or, exactly. Or oh wait, what was I saying, or something like that. You cut those out, but otherwise make sure the volume is good and then leave it be usually.
Yeah, and what I started doing to save time too is, as I'm interviewing, if there's something like that happens, I just jot down on a piece of paper like 27 minutes in, and that way I can go back and not have to like listen to the whole thing. So it's all about trying to get the editing done as quick as possible now. So
yeah. So let me, you have show notes, right? As well. You have show notes pages. Yeah. So I usually, even if I know that an interview went well, I'll still listen through because I'd like to type up the show notes. So then I kind of kill two birds with one stone, you know, and I listen through the episode and while I'm typing the show notes, and that way too, I'll just kind of get lost in listening to the episode and taking notes about it. So if something is off, I'll catch it as like a normal listener would. So then I'll be able to go back and remove it. But
yeah, that's a great tip too. I outsourced show notes a couple different times and I bring them back in, and it's, you know, it's really just a value of, it's kind of a question of value, because like typically what I found, somebody's going to charge like $40 an episode for show notes. And then, you know, on short episodes, you're like, you know, I could just do these show notes really quick.
Especially if you recorded it, you know what you talked about.
Right, right. So I think everybody has to kind of try that, you know, they outsource their show notes. And it just depends if it's worth it to you, but you get the show notes back and they're good, but they're nothing more than you could probably do yourself.
Anyway. Yeah. Because in the end, all show notes are they're notes, you know, anyone can really take notes. The thing, you know, like, you know, I do podcast editing and production, all that kind of stuff. The focus isn't I do show notes. The focus is I do everything, including show notes, you know?
Exactly.
So when
exactly.
you pay, when like, it's nice to have show notes included in editing of an episode, but I don't know if it would be as practical to outsource only the show notes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
At that point, like if you're doing everything else, then it's not hard to just also type up some notes. You know, speaking of show notes, now, is there anything that you outsource or are you doing it all yourself?
Okay, so I've actually brought it back in. I just tried... so in the past, so I've outsourced show notes. I've outsourced transcripts. Mm-hmm. I've tried outsourcing editing. You know, the issue with editing is if you're looking for like a reasonable cost, most of the editing is going to just kind of be audio quality and maybe take out some of the ums. But and I know people are looking for like an editor that's going to actually take out mistakes and that type of stuff. And that's a great investment if you want to invest in that cost. but I've kind of got a system now where it's pretty fast. So I can edit my podcast, put it on my website, and, you know, if I do show notes, I mean, in a couple hours, I can like knock everything out. So that's, so like I've done it a lot now where it's pretty fast. At the beginning, it took forever. Like, you got to learn. It took forever. And then that's when I was trying to like outsource it. But, you know, if I had unlimited funds, I would outsource it completely, you know, because even when I had the editing outsourced, it was like, it's so nice that you can just get done with your recording and put it in Dropbox. And then you get it back and you post it. You know, some will even post on the website, but it takes me a couple minutes to put on my website. And then it was so nice. It was so nice. So unlimited funds, definitely outsource everything. And if not, do it yourself. But it's way nicer outsourcing. For sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there comes a point too, where you have to sit down and think, okay, what is that 2 hours worth? Like, would it be worth it to outsource, even though it costs some money, to then I could use that money, that time, to produce more content, focus on whatever you do for making money, you know? That's
exactly.
No matter what, especially when you really get down the road and you've been doing it for a while, like you said, because you're almost 100 episodes in, so you've got systems, you've got it down to a couple hours. Anyone can scrape together a couple hours a week to do the podcast.
Right.
So it's not, you know, it's not like this is a huge job that was full time, you know. It's, you just have to decide when will it be worth it to pay the money for someone else to do it, and then I can focus on something else that would make me more money. So
yeah, exactly. And you know, if you're doing a daily podcast, you know, I do mine weekly, and we can talk about that later, like the inconsistent. I'm pretty consistent at being inconsistent, right? But daily, I don't know how you could do it yourself if you were doing it daily. I just don't, because once a week is enough. Even twice a week, like you start at doing 2 or 3 episodes a week, it's going to be really hard to do it all yourself, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. And I always recommend, if someone is interested in doing something like 5 days a week or even 7 days a week, then usually what I find is that the people with the 30 minutes to an hour long interview episodes are once or twice a week. Usually if they're 7 days a week, they're like 10, 15 minute solo little blurb episodes that they record on their phone or something like that.
Right, right, exactly. So
then it's easy because you can record a week ahead. And then when you sit down and edit all those episodes at once, it comes out to run the same amount of time as a once a week interview episode.
Right,
right. Right. So, but then there are those people who want to be really hardcore and do an interview episode every week. Because isn't that what John Lee Dumas does?
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. That's how he started. So, I mean, you know, you could definitely find success that way. I mean, again, John Lee Dumas, this is exactly what he did. So,
yeah, and, you know, with John Lee Dumas, I mean, that's – we have one person that we're naming, right? That was kind of a success story. And you know – they have production crews and they have, I mean, at this stage of his game, you know, he has production crews and all that. I would definitely recommend, if you're doing an interview based like I do most of the time, start with once a week and see if you can even do it once a week, because, you know, most podcasts never get past episode 7. And I like to share all this information with my friends who are like, oh, you're doing a podcast. And I'm like, you know, they never get past episode 7, like 80% of them, because you start realizing, man, this is work. This is like getting guests and recording and editing. And then you're like, okay, so what's the return, right? And the return is more qualitative than quantitative, right? I mean,
yeah,
people like, oh, you're going to get advertisers in podcasting. Well, advertising rates, as you know, are really low in podcasting, and the downloads are really low. Most people don't realize that the average 50th percentile podcast in iTunes is 145 downloads in 30 days. People are like, oh, Joe Rogan. I'm like, Joe Rogan has 30 million downloads a month. Yeah. Joe Rogan is not us.
Yeah. Right?
And so, but if you think about it, 145 downloads, that's 145 people listening to you. you know, and listening to your message, which is kind of cool. So podcasts, you really kind of have the passion for it. I want to go back real quick. I just thought of something else I outsourced at the very beginning. Okay. I hired a firm to get me interviews to get people on my show. And I think that cost, like, I would get 4 guests a month. I think I paid like maybe 500 a month or something, four or 500 a month, maybe something like that. It's something around there. And maybe you can get it cheaper, 300. But that was my best investment ever, because I was just starting and nobody knew me, and reaching out to people to try to get interviews, like, they would just ignore you, right? And so you hire this service and then they start connecting you. And then within probably 20 episodes, I started getting, like, then I could reach out to people. So I've, like, in the keto space, Mark Sisson is one of the top people, and Jimmy Moore, and like these people that have big, big followings. And they started, as soon as I would ask them, they'd be like, okay. Or they'd reach out to me, or they'd say, hey, why don't you interview my friend? Right. So if you're going to invest in, if you're doing an interview show, investing in a service like that at the beginning is so worth it. So worth it. That's the one thing that was valued for sure.
Yeah. That sounds like a good transition. Start out with using that money towards getting guests. Exactly. And then eventually transition to using that money for the editing and production, because people are going to be coming to you and it's going to be easy to get guests.
Exactly. It's really easy now at this point.
Yeah. That's one thing that I found interesting. Cause when I started reaching out to people, for being on my show, it was not as difficult as I expected, especially because I really didn't start out going for like, John Lee Dumas, Pat Flynn, you know, even though they're huge in the podcasting space and my podcast is about podcasts. I was like, well, you know, I was part of, I believe we met through, Pat Flynn's podcasting course. Right. And so I just went onto that course and I looked at all of the members and those that had podcasts that I thought were interesting and had businesses and stuff. I just reached out and was like, hey, you want to be on the show? And honestly, I only had one person say no. And that was because he didn't feel like he had enough value to give. Like, his podcast had like just started. So it wasn't because he didn't want to be on, you know, he was like, but give me like a year or a couple months or something and I'll come on. So it's, especially if you really start out, you just message a bunch of people, even if you don't have, cause I don't want, you know, even if you don't have the funds or for a service that will get you guests, get guests for you, it's definitely still possible that I've found.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And, so a couple comments there, like, and always ask the person that you're interviewing, like, do you know anybody that would be good for my show? That's like the number one question, because a lot of guests will be like, oh yeah, yeah. Like, here, let me introduce you to, that's how, so Mark Sisson is like, if Mark Sisson's like, he has the biggest nutrition blog in the world, one of them. And that's how I got to him. I interviewed somebody who works for him. She wrote a book and she's like, oh, do you want to have Mark on the show? And that's how that happened. Right. I was like,
yeah,
can you hook me up with Mark? But the other thing to what you said is that what I've learned, I've interviewed small, medium, and large audience guests. And really what I found is that the ones with that are just starting out, they're kind of what you said, they're kind of nervous and they don't really want to be on your show, right? The ones like me that have a smaller following, but a following, are the best guests, because they're trying to grow their business, and but they really do want to provide value for you too. And they'll share it on their social media. They'll talk about it in the podcast. They'll talk about it. The super big guests, what I found is that the only time they really come out is when they have a book or they have something to promote. And they get on your show, they talk about basically their book nonstop, and then they don't share it. And I've learned, with the exception of a couple, most of them don't share it at all on their social media. So it's almost like they're using you as kind of a vehicle to promote their book. Yeah. And the people don't really want to listen to book promotions so much. They want to get value, right? Yeah. So what you're saying is true. Like, get into groups and interact with normal people that aren't superstars, and they will be the best value for your podcast for sure.
Especially because something else I've noticed, if you reach out to people, especially maybe people who don't have a podcast themselves, you know, because I had to get people who have podcasts, because that's what my podcast is about. Right. Most people's podcasts aren't about podcasts. So if you reach out to someone and maybe they don't have a podcast, or they do and it's a small audience, you say, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? They're going to be like, do you want me on your show? You know, I am a good guest for you. You know, it's like, you know, what if when you're just starting out, you have like 10 episodes and someone reached out and wants you to be on the show? That'd be crazy. So if you're that person reaching out, then they're probably going to say yes.
Right. Right.
Because it's nothing but a benefit as well, because like me, since I'm also just starting out, most of my guests are in a similar situation or a little bit more advanced. Maybe they're a year in or so. And so both of us benefit, you know, we both share it on social media.
Absolutely.
We have my audience, I have their audience. And like you said, that's really interesting. People think, oh, I want, you know, Oprah on my show. I want John Lee Dumas and Pat Flynn on my show. And yeah, they're great people and they have a lot of good content, but they're not going to give you the focus that a smaller guest would. You know, they have their TED Talks and all that stuff to talk and give value, you know?
Exactly.
So a small time podcast interview is not going to be something that they're going to go, hey, check this out, it's so amazing on social media, because they're busy promoting their other, you know, more important stuff, you know, to them.
Right. So, you might be, you know, one of 10 interviews that day for them.
Yeah, exactly.
But everybody else, you're probably the one interview of the month for them. Right. So they're going to prep and they're going to make sure they have value and all that. But, and I know Pat talks about this in his course, but what I have found is, for if you're like starting out on a podcast and somebody wants to interview you, absolutely take the interview.
Oh,
100%, because that's how you grow. That's how you grow your own podcast. My podcast, I started and it was growing. It grew faster than normal, I guess, but it wasn't really growing that fast. And then I interviewed somebody in the keto world, and then he asked me, he said he had a podcast. And he was like probably in the top 40 in fitness and nutrition on iTunes. He's like, you want to come on my podcast? And I was like, oh man, you're like, what am I going to talk about? Right. Like I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And, I got so many subscribers from that one episode. Like my numbers tripled from the one episode. I've been interviewed on other podcasts where it didn't grow. But that one, you never know which one is going to like really skyrocket your download numbers. And they went up so much that like I think I hit number 30 on the fitness and nutrition.
Oh, wow.
One time. And it was all from being on that show.
Yeah.
And so you never know, but you have more value than you think. Right. And that's like, don't say, well, what value am I going to offer? Just get on the podcast and share, you know, three or four things that you're doing, and people will find value. But never, never turn down a podcast interview. That's my take. That's your takeaway right there. Don't ever turn it down.
Exactly, because it's a huge opportunity. I mean, that's something that Pat Flynn said in his course, like you said. That's whether you have a podcast or not, one of the biggest ways to grow and expand is to be on podcasts. And, you know, people, you know, like you said, people might think, oh, I don't have anything to share, or I don't have enough value. But the interviewer is going to ask you questions. And then what are you going to do? Not answer? He has you on the show. So he knows that you know the answers to those questions.
Exactly.
So you're going to have the answers. So he'll ask the question, you know, the interviewer will ask the question, and it's just a conversation. You'll just say what you're thinking and you'll have an answer, and then boom, the episode is done. You know, it's not as hard as people think it is, you know, as you hype it up in your head as this big thing, but then you do it and then it's done.
And especially if you're starting a podcast, I guarantee you have a ton of value to offer. Otherwise, you wouldn't be starting a podcast.
Exactly.
Right. So, just do it. And the easier they get, you know, this is like, kind of goes back and like in the business world, I was, when I, as a CEO, I had to be in front of the public all the time. Right. And I was a nervous wreck when I started. And so I like started going to Toastmasters, like, and just doing speech after speech. And all of a sudden it clicked and it was easy. Right. Same thing with Facebook Lives. Like if you have a Facebook page, I went out one time and said, okay, I'm doing a 30-day Facebook Live. I'm doing a Facebook Live every single day. I had no idea what I was going to talk about. But like at the end of that 30 days, now Facebook Lives are so easy, yeah. Right? Just do it. Do your podcast, get out there, do it. And people, you will find that people are so supportive of you that because they want to see you succeed because they kind of got the same fears as you do. And then, I mean, you might honestly be the inspiration for somebody to make them successful in life. They see you and they're like, look, I mean, Dan's a normal person. That was a normal person. He can do it. I can do it. Right. So yeah. You never know who you're influencing in a very positive way. So just get out there.
Exactly. Especially compared to the Pat Flynn's and the John Lee Dumas's of the world, because you think, oh, I want to start a podcast like them, but you know, I can't have 30 million downloads a month. You know, that's not, so I shouldn't even start, you know? That person already is talking about the, you know, topic that I want to talk about. And he has millions of downloads. Oh, you know, I don't, that's not true. Someone will be inspired. Everyone has a unique perspective.
Right.
On everything.
And you made a great point that like when I first started, I would look on like the, Reagan Star is the site you can go to, and it lists all the up-to-date rankings. And a lot of people don't know that this guy, I think it's just an IT guy that did it, but I would look at all these podcasts and I'd be like, this one just came out. How can they debut at number 10? Right? Like, why are they up there? Well, once you start looking into it, they're either a celebrity, they have a huge social media following before they even start, or there's something else that they're popular. So people are just not debuting at the top of these charts. They have probably tens of thousands or 100,000 followers already. So don't compare, get this compare-itis where you get onto these lists and you're like, oh, I can never be this person, right? Well, I can never be a Kardashian, but I don't want to be a Kardashian. I want to influence people at the grassroots level and go from there. So that was a mistake I made at the beginning, definitely, because I was like, how come my downloads aren't growing like this person's, you know? And so, yeah, just don't do it. Just put out good value and it will grow eventually.
Exactly. And like you said, usually those people who debut in their number 10, number 5 spot, they had a following and then got a podcast, whereas most 95% of people, they have a podcast and then they have the following.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's why, you know, that's why I'm starting. That's one of the reasons why I was wanting to start a podcast and why most people, you know, at the lower levels want to start podcasts is to help grow a following. So you can't compare that to someone who already has a following and they just threw a podcast on top, you know, for fun or for whatever reason.
Right.
Because they're going to have all of the listeners because they already have people who are like, yes, give me more content. Give me more content.
Yeah. And I know we're kind of all over the page, but like a little tip that that has worked well is if you're going to have a guest that you think is going to have a lot of downloads, like I had this doctor on who, like, he has YouTube videos with hundreds of thousands of views. He's like the fasting expert in the whole world, right? And I got him on it. It was awesome, dude. And so we went on Facebook Live and I turned it into like an hour podcast episode and I knew it was going to be big. So I made it 2 parts.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a little strategy. I don't do it all. I only do it for guests that I think are going to have a lot of downloads because I knew by dividing it into 2 parts, it was going to be, you know, 8,000 downloads times 2 or whatever the number was. Right. So there are ways to kind of, you know, strategize around your episodes. You want to get the most value out of your big guests for sure.
Exactly. It's right. Kind of like a TV show where you're watching an episode and it's this huge thing and then it's like to be continued.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's a 2-part episode. Oh, how exciting is that? because I've noticed there are a lot of parallels between podcast and like television, because you mentioned a little while ago, you mentioned consistency. You know, podcasts is just as important to be consistent, because it's like if you have a TV show that comes out every Friday at 8 p.m. and then suddenly one Friday, there's just nothing.
Right.
Where's the
right.
podcast? Oh, I didn't get to it this week. I was busy. You know, the TV show episode, oh, there'll be one next Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometime later next week. Is what? So yeah. If you have a podcast, you know, it, like a TV show, it has to come out every single week at the same time, or every day, or whenever you said it was going to come out.
Exactly. That's a great parallel for sure.
Yeah. So let's transition a little bit into, we've talked a little bit, you know, we've mentioned a couple times about podcast and business. Are you still, you know, are you still the CEO of that hospital? Have you moved to something different? How does a podcast relate to what you do for business? If it does.
Yeah. So I did 20 years as a hospital CEO and kind of left that career. And, because I like the idea of being an entrepreneur and having a little freedom in my life. Right.
Like, oh yeah,
it was, I don't miss the 24 hour a day texts and emails anymore. I don't miss those. Right.
Oh yeah.
But when I started the podcast, this is, you know, it was kind of just a hobby. And, so I'm using this more like I'm in the keto coaching world and keto supplement world. And I use the podcast. It's really, it's more about attracting people to me. Like, this is the way I view social media in general. So I have a podcast, and I have a Facebook page with like 50,000 followers on it. And I use that just to provide value. Right. Yeah. And I don't really directly sell on that. I'll post stuff, but 90% of it is just of the podcast is just providing value to people and attracting them to me. So then they'll come to my personal page on Facebook or Instagram or whatever and say, "Oh, so what is this ketone you're drinking? Or what about this coaching?" Right. So, it's really not, I actually had advertisers come to me and some affiliates and I've always turned them down, actually, just because, I think it's a good strategy, but like, I've never wanted the podcast to be that direct income type of thing. I may do it in the future. I don't know. But so it's really more about establishing myself as value. That's kind of what I use the podcast as.
Exactly. And that's something that I know is true as you get into higher levels of business and coaching. Not every single activity that you do is going to be in itself an income generating tool. That's what, you know, a podcast, you can have sponsors and you can use some affiliate marketing. I know Pat Flynn talks about that a little bit in the course. But that's not what the purpose of your podcast should be. You know, I mean, of course, it's always nice to get some extra money, but sponsorships, first of all, between sponsorships and affiliate marketing, affiliate's always better. First of all, Pat Flynn talked about that, because sponsorships, they pay you very little for a certain amount of time. But regardless, the real goal that you can find in a podcast is as a part of your marketing funnel. And as a marketing tool, and as a way to qualify leads if you're trying to sell something or if you have a product, because people listen to your podcast for a while, they get to know you, they get to know what you do, and if they reach out and you talk to them, then you know that they're not just a random person that found you, and you know they're qualified leads that the podcast can bring. So that is what I feel like the real power of a podcast is. So I love that you even turned down the affiliate and sponsorship opportunities.
Yeah, you know, we had a saying in healthcare. It was because, you know, we raised a lot of money with foundations, right? That's part of healthcare. And mm-hmm. we would have a saying that says, you don't make the ask for 3 years. So you're basically nurturing a relationship with a potential donor for 3 years before you ask them for money. And that's almost like hard to take. You're like, I don't want to wait 3 years, but you'll be surprised at who listens. Like, because sometimes you get really discouraged. You're like, nobody's commenting, nobody's emailing me. No. And then like with Facebook Lives, I was doing them all the time, and I quit doing them. And I had two people that I didn't even know watched them, and they're like, "Hey, why aren't you doing Facebook Lives anymore?" You know, or I'll have somebody like recently emailed me from Australia and said, "I love your podcast." And so you get these things. So people are listening, even if they're not commenting. Think about yourself. Like, how often do you leave an Amazon review or comment or send somebody? I don't, but I listen. And so you just have to trust that the process is working and that people are listening. And, you know, we talked about consistency, and like, I know I've lost listeners because I was very consistent for the first year. And then I got really lazy and even took like months off at a time. People have very short attention spans. So like you said about the TV, people will stop watching your program if you're not consistent, right? Mm-hmm. So use it as a way to provide value. And, you know, in the future, like I would like to write a book and speak. And what a great resource. I mean, you can say I've had a podcast for 5 years. I've done 400 episodes or whatever the number is. That gives you a lot of credibility in the future.
Exactly.
So don't think about it as right now. Think about it as this is growing your value as an expert, and it doesn't have to provide income right now.
Exactly. It's just like, I found that it's very similar to writing a book, except instead of a whole book, it's broken up into episodes and it's audio instead of a book, because it, especially if you have, you know, a small audience or something, the book itself, when you publish it, you're not going to be J.K. Rowling and make millions of dollars as an author. And then that's it. You know, point of a book is so that when someone says, or you're talking to someone, you can say, "Hey, ho, oh yeah, I wrote a book about that."
Exactly.
I have a podcast about that. I say, "Hey, I was talking about, do you have an answer to this question?" "Oh yeah, that's episode 35. You know, listen to it. We talk all about it."
Exactly. Yeah. Most authors will say, when you ask them why they wrote a book, they're like, "So I could say I'm an author." That's their, right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, the big books of the world, they don't, you know, and everybody's a bestseller and all that. But I mean, you know, you look at the top books and there's only one J.K. Rowling, and there's only, you know, I mean, like Dr. Mercola, he has millions of followers. He's this doc. There's one of him. There's most people that write books, nobody's even heard of the books, you know. So, but it's all about credibility. And you never know who's the person. You don't even know who is listening to your podcast may become your biggest customer ever down the road. Right. And that's the approach you have to take. Otherwise you will quit doing the podcast because there's no real immediate return. There just really isn't.
Yeah. That's very true. I mean, you won't get a monetary, you won't get money, you won't get a return right away. You may never get a return from the podcast specifically, you know, you may never get money from it, but it will help. I mean, I haven't even launched my podcast yet as of this recording, but I've already gotten business from interview guests because I provide value and I show that I'm an expert in podcast editing and production. And people are like, "Oh, well, can you do that for me?" You know,
right.
You know, whether, and, you know, that's, of course, that's not why I'm doing the podcast. I mean, well, it is to help get more business, but the main focus is just providing value and showing people that I know what I'm talking about and helping people so that they also know more about podcasts and things like that. And that's what the number one focus should be, because, you know, the saying, dollars follow value.
Right. So. Right. And your point about connection is so important. I mean, a takeaway, one benefit of the podcast that, like, if I would look back and say it was all worth it, I have met people that I would never have met in my life, ever. Like, I couldn't go into these top interviews I've had, and, you know, not, like I said, they didn't even answer me to begin with, but, like, you can't knock on their door and say, "Hey, you got an hour to spend? I just want to pick your brain." They'd be like, "Call security," right? So, so I mean, I've met at least 75 people that I would have never, ever met in my life. And that's one of the real benefits of doing interview style. And then you're connected to them in a different way, because they remember, right? And so you go to a conference and, you know, people that like these top people be like, hey, yeah, a podcast was great, or, you know, whatever, like you would never have that connection. So that's a major benefit of interview style podcasts, for sure. For sure.
Exactly. And I love what you said too. You know, you're not just going to go knock on the door. You're not just going to send a message. Hey, can we just like talk for an hour?
No,
of course not. What are you're crazy. Get away from me. But if you say, do you want to be on my podcast? It'll be like an hour long episode. Then they'll say yes. And you'll get this, you're talking to them for like an hour. You get to pick their brain. They get to pick your brain. And you also learn stuff. Like I've learned new strategies and techniques for podcasting by interviewing other people and talking about them.
Right.
Because, you know, it's essentially like I've been able to just find people who have successful podcasts. And it's kind of like I messaged them and was like, hey, can we talk for like an hour and you tell me stuff that you know about podcasts? And then they say yes. But instead of asking that, I ask, do you want to be on my podcast?
Right, right.
So,
and you know, some of the pre and the post interview time is really valuable too, because some people you just connect with, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I've scheduled interviews and we would talk for 40 minutes and we'd be like, we got to get this interview going.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, I mean, sometimes you spend an hour before and after the interview just, you know, talking with this person, which, so you're getting like 2 hours of meeting this person that you would never, and then that you spend time before and after the interviews, that is what makes kind of a real friendships, that you stay mm-hmm. connected to these people, which it would just never happen. I mean, I have interviewed people and then found out that they were going to be in the city or they live there, and we would meet up and had drinks with one guy, and like, I mean, you create this really cool community, right? With this, and it's all because of this podcast.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. There's just so much value you can get beyond sponsorships and affiliate marketing, because that's really usually what I've found in talking with people about whether or not they want a podcast. Like they'll think, oh yeah, you know, value or whatever, but they associate podcasts with getting sponsors and
right.
affiliate marketing. And they're like, oh, but that's not very much. So I won't get that until late in the game.
Right.
But that's not what the value is. You give value, the amazing relationships you get to cultivate that you never would have otherwise, like you said, marketing, all that kind of stuff. And you get that from day one. I'd say if you're thinking of starting a business, one of your first steps should be start a podcast.
Right. I agree.
Even though usually people think it's the exact opposite. Wait until the end and then throw a podcast on for fun, just for some extra sponsorship cash.
Exactly. And I like the audio, because it's people are, they're confined to their vehicles on commutes and they go for walks. And, you know, with video, you can't really do that, right? So if you're like, some people want to do.
And with a blog.
Yeah, you can't. People aren't going to read or they're not going to watch a video. But most of the people that comment to me are like, oh yeah, I listen. I had somebody tell me they wait for my podcast to come out and they listen to it on their walks. Yeah. And then I was in Vegas last week and I didn't do a podcast. And I was just, what you said about the TV show, I'm thinking, oh man, she's probably mad. You know, I didn't put one out.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I usually listen to podcasts while I'm cooking or when I'm walking, because it's a time where, you know, there's not a TV in my kitchen and I can't read and cook at the same time very easily.
Right.
So just put on headphones and listen. So, yeah. So as we kind of wind down to the end of the episode, I like to ask, what would be your number one tip for those listeners who are still unsure about whether a podcast would be right for them and their business?
Yeah. So I think like, one of the mistakes I made is that, and it wasn't a mistake at the time, but I look back and I didn't really have a product, right, in mind. I kind of did, but I didn't. And that kind of, like, I started with leadership. I went to low carb. And so for a long time, I was just doing this podcast, right? I got all the benefits we talked about, but I think it's really important to know kind of what your end goal is. Right. And I didn't have an end goal. And because the reason it's important is you want to like engineer it backwards. years, right? So because podcasting is only one platform that you're going to use. You're going to use social media and everything else. And you kind of want to steer it in a certain direction toward, if you're writing a book, I mean, you don't even have to have a solidified product. It can be, I want to write a book. I want to be a speaker. But it gives you a guidance toward where you're going. So kind of start with that end in mind, right? And then, like I said, the other tip is we talked about this extensively, but you gotta be consistent. Mm-hmm. And I was very consistent. And then for like a year, I wasn't consistent. And you're gonna lose listeners. Because the way iTunes works is if you don't download for a while, it quits downloading for you, right? And you have to go back and start manually downloading. So you want to get somebody in the habit of listening every single time. So consistency is like I can't overemphasize how important that is. So like kind of have a product in mind. And then if you're going to start, be committed to it. Because like we talked about, 90% of the people don't make it past episode 7. And so be committed. It's something you're going to do. And then you don't have to invest a ton of money, right? Just, I mean, get like one of these $100 mics. You can get them cheap or whatever. You can get good quality out of probably $100 and start that. Oh, yeah. Like I actually invested like in Cliff Ravencraft's podcast course, and it was great, but I have all kinds of really expensive equipment now. And I use a $150 mic because it's such a hassle, right? And it's just about the same quality. So just start easy and just start cheap and then get started. But you got to be committed in your mind to starting if you're going to start.
Yeah. And because you can't get those benefits down the road unless you start. And the later you start, the farther away those benefits will be. And then when you start with the cheap mic, you do it all yourself. And then as you go along, you start to get those benefits, which eventually will turn into monetary benefits. You'll get money. And then like whether it's a marketing tool, you'll get more people coming in and buying your course or your product or service or whatever. Then you can start outsourcing and you can produce even more content, maybe have a second podcast or more episodes, or, you know, you just have to start. And then down the line, each day, each episode is going to get better. It's going to get smoother and it'll be more beneficial.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Daniel, thank you so much for being on the show today. You shared a lot of value, and well, I think a lot of people are going to be are going to get a lot from this. So, thank you.
Yeah, and I'll be you can reach out to me or whatever, and like ask any questions. I'll be happy to share. I probably have more mistakes I can share than most people, so I'll be happy to share those as well. You know. Okay.
Really quick before we sign off, where can listeners get a hold of you if they're interested in what you do and with keto and the low carb and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so easiest way is just lowcarbleader.com. That's my website. And then Daniel Perryman, and like I'm in St. Louis, so if you want to reach out on Facebook, I do a lot of stuff on Facebook. I'd be happy to send me a friend request and we'll go from there. But I like the I like the keto stuff, but I like the social media stuff too. So on my resource page, I have some interviews. One of them is somebody interviewed me about growing my Facebook page to like 50,000 people. Mm-hmm. And the summary of it is I had no idea what I was doing, but it grew somehow. So that's
yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's usually how it happens, I've found. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Daniel. That was fantastic. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success. Make sure to head over to ipodcastedit.com to check out the show notes and get each episode of the show delivered right to your inbox. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or whichever audio service you use. If you want to continue the conversation or you have a topic you'd like me to discuss on a future episode of the show, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode as we continue down the path to podcast success.